I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And remember, when you hand prop your space shuttle, wear gloves.
Right. And don't let your fingers wrap around in case it kicks back.
Exactly right. Flat palms flat across the blades.
There you go. The worst part is you have to be on a tall ladder.
Yeah, and that hurts. With us today from our friends over at NASA.
Ready?
We have Linda Kramer.
Okay, Linda, say it with us.
NASA.
Nice, huh?
Yeah. Rolls off.
We have had multiple visits from NASA this year, and we've
They're sick of us.
they're sick of us. They don't go on the radio with those two loonies.
That's not what I've heard.
Uh-oh.
We love you guys.
Good.
Good.
They love us so much they want to shoot us into space.
I'm in. Say, I hear you guys got a special on a slightly used Saturn V laying around somewhere. Pay the shipping and it's yours.
There you go. But we're here to talk about new stuff.
Hey, we are talking about, you're going to love this, we're back on the X-59 again.
Yes.
But this time.
The lawn dart.
The lawn dart, right. But we're talking about the TV on board.
They have TV on board?
They have a TV.
Wow.
Do you know why they have a TV on board?
Because they like in-flight movies?
They couldn't afford a front window.
Oh, there you go. That true?
Somewhat, yeah, but, sure.
But am I mistaken to think that you kind of painted something that looks like a windshield on top of it, though?
Well, you know, actually, it's called an external vision system, or XVS is what we're calling it. And it's kind of an electronic window for the pilots because of, you talked about the dart. It's so the shape of the vehicle, there's not a usable forward window for the pilots, though they do have side windows they can use as well.
Okay. So they can look at where they've been.
Yeah. Or coming in a crab and then, you know, straighten it out.
Wow.
I can't wait to see this airplane fly. I'm hoping they'll bring it here to AirVenture when she's ready.
Now let's talk about the design. You know, anybody can go down and buy a 4K camera, hook it up to a television. But you being NASA, right. That would not do, I'm sure.
No. So it's like you said, it's a 4K or ultra-high definition camera. We combine that with F-18-like symbology so the crews have all the information they need to fly. And if you want, we can talk about, we've done flight testing of the actual hardware before it goes in the X-59 to kind of prove out the concept.
What did you stick it in?
We stuck it in at NASA Langley in a B-200 variant, and we did see and avoid operations against another aircraft, and so we would do different encounters to make sure they could detect other aircraft, identify them, and you know assess their a threat, if you will.
Right. But you make sure they can recognize them far off enough to do something about it.
Exactly. And one thing that's interesting is, so, you know, you think, oh, it's a camera with symbology. How in the heck are they going to recognize traffic? One thing we did was we applied algorithms to look at to enhance the contrast on them. And from that, we had some really great test results. In fact, we had equivalents or even better than the window.
Wow.
Are you going to overlay your TCAS and ADS-B stuff on that screen as well?
Yeah, we are. If you're familiar with, and I'm sure your audience is, with the TCAS symbols, kind of the diamond, they're going to do something similar. It'll be a diamond shape, and it'll take in traffic information either from the Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, ADS-B, or like a TCAS, TCAS-2 or TCAS, whatever you have.
So there's going to be a lot of information going on besides looking at the scene outside.
A lot, but not cluttered. It's see-through, so it's just, and it's going to be based on range. So if it's in a range where it's not going to be a threat to your aircraft, they won't display it to the pilot.
Okay. Yeah,
this way
okay.
It cuts out the information overload.
Now,
here's the tricky part, though. You've got a flat-screen TV in front of you. Normally, a pilot's looking out a window. How are you going to judge the depth perception when it comes to landing the aircraft?
That is a great question. So I actually started my career 20 years ago looking at external vision system, this XVS, for the high-speed civil transport. And we did a lot of the basic research for that. And it turns out you don't need a collimated or to be able to see depth into the display, especially when we have our side windows. You get that visual flow coming from the side window as you're going down. And it really is a seamless integration with any kind of that electronic window that the external vision gives you.
Right, so you don't really need it. It's only when you pull up to the gate, you got to get that right.
There you go.
Now, I'm kind of confused. This is a research aircraft, but you sound like you're getting ready to fly it in crowded skies, not out over Mojave, where there shouldn't be more than like 3 airplanes in the entire state.
Right. So, I mean, this is a large-scale prototype, but is not meant to be an airliner. The technologies we're testing could be used, if they prove out, which we're pretty confident they will, by manufacturers and pull them in as they see fit. That's kind of what NASA does. We gather the data. We're an independent authority, if you might say, and provide that data to government, to industry, academia, to use as they see fit.
So you're actually going to deliver a mature package.
Yes, sir.
Capable of operating in New York airspace.
I will say that we will be evaluating, our pilots will be able to fly with the external vision system to get the data for the community response, and then it'll be up to a rule change whether they can fly over New York or not.
Right. No, what I'm getting at is when you release this information to the manufacturer, you have the total package. You don't have to say, well, we have to do this if you're going to fly in crowded skies and we have to change this. You already got to do that. That's forward thinking.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Oh, so we'll have the technologies and they'll choose what they want from that.
Right.
I don't
know
if the public is really ready yet to accept a windowless airplane, for instance. You know, I am because I've been doing it 20 years and I've seen the pilots land safely and, you know, effectively.
It's no different than an unmanned drone.
Yeah, exactly.
Except the pilot happens to be along for the ride.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, when you fly in the weather, you trust your instruments and you can land. I mean, we've proven this out with this technology, other vision system technologies as well. So,
interesting.
Is this display strictly for external vision, or can it be cycled through in case one of the other displays craps out on the plane?
Oh, that's a great question. So there's three sources of information that can come up with the display. Synthetic vision, which you've seen in some of the general aviation aircraft. It's kind of like the Garmin on your car. It could have that. And we also have a secondary camera called the Ford Vision System, which is an electronic vision system camera from Collins. So it looks at IR as well as a visible band and combines that together. So you have three sources of information you could use if one went away.
Well, IR penetrates clouds better, does it not?
So it really depends on the size of the water droplets. But yes, it does. And it really works fantastic at night. That thermal difference. So IR is infrared, and it looks at thermal differences. And if there's snow on the ground, it's going to wash out that thermal difference. But it works really well in light rain. Not so well in fog.
Well, you could actually put IR emitters on the end of the runway to provide more or less a visual cue.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it'll help you spot the deer on the runway when you're landing.
That's right.
You know, you laugh, but I was in a flight test at Wallops Island when we had a FLIR on there, and we did spot a deer in it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, a friend of mine, one of his coworkers, smashed into a deer landing one night in a King Air.
Oh, my goodness.
Made a mess of the airplane.
Yeah, that is.
Didn't hurt the deer at all, huh?
Well, no, it was pretty much tenderized.
Yeah.
But,
it's already, all you have to do is wrap it because it's already sliced.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they're talking about infrared for a tremendous amount of things, all kinds of civilian applications and everything. But like you said, you know, it's good in some weather conditions. Some of the weather that we've had back in the Philadelphia area, nothing works.
That's right. staying on the ground works.
One of the technologies I've looked at to combine with FLIR is millimeter wave radar, and that works really well in most of those conditions, maybe those conditions in Philly there.
You wonder, every electronic vision system has a frame rate, okay? So when you're screaming along at supersonic, that update rate can kind of become significant, can it?
Oh, definitely. So you, and that's part of the basic research, I guess, that NASA did over 20 years ago. We looked at, now that was for a different, it was for the high-speed civil transport, and it was going to go fast. So yes, it is. It's frame rate, the resolution of the display, like whether it needs to be where you can see a depth into it, like we talked about before. Collimation is the technical term.
This is a special dedicated display. This isn't something that you can go down to your local electronics store and buy off the shelf.
That is correct. Yes, they had to develop. It has its own processor. It has its own pilot vehicle interface to be able to control the amount of contrast, the brightness of the symbology, etc.
Wow.
So it's fully adjustable then. And on top of that, you can play games.
And
on it.
And it has a cup holder.
Love it.
So brain dead.
Yeah, there you go. When are you anticipating flying this aircraft?
So the X-59, it's being produced by Lockheed Martin. And then they'll do some initial flight testing with NASA and hand it over to us. I believe it's in 2021. And then they start the initial community response at Armstrong following that. And then eventually over some select areas in the country.
You've had test pilots involved all along, and you said you guys have been doing windowless for 20-some years. The test pilots have no qualms, no objections at all about windowless? Well, we should probably call it near windowless because you're saying it has side windows.
Yeah, you have side windows, and you also have the canopy overhead. So, like, when you're sitting back in the seat, you can look up and see the sky.
Oh.
I think they have qualms before they fly it, and then once they fly it, those go away because they can do everything they need to do. You know, they can see to navigate, they can see to avoid, they can see to follow, you know, the basic tenets of aviation, right? So, especially now that we're flying this in good weather conditions.
Right, right. We're not going to challenge that yet.
Yeah,
right.
You're not going to take this airplane up when it's a rotten night.
Exactly. We're not going to go fly really close to a mountain or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's really to gather the community response data for that rulemaking change.
Are there flights designed strictly to test the vision system?
Yes. In fact, we had one in 2017, and we're having one this summer. It starts in about 2 weeks from now at NASA Langley. We'll be using the actual the actual equipment that's going in the low boom flight demonstrator, the X-59, the camera, the computer, the processor, the ultra-high definition monitor, and proving that out in a different aircraft, much slower speeds, but again, proving that you can see other aircraft with it.
Right. So you've got opposing pilots to fly.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun here shortly.
It's a blast. I love flight testing. It's a great part of my job.
Wow.
You get to sit in the back and go, yay!
I do. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say, hey, my God, it works.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that, you know, you're not up there saying, hey, that guy's playing Galaga.
Right, right.
And see, I'm old enough to know what Galaga is.
There you go.
All right, I want to thank you for joining us, Linda Kramer from NASA.
Yep.
I'm Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio. Ha ha.